That we have the NHS, we have ambulances, we have doctors, dentists, opticians, you name it, we have lots of different people to help us when things aren't quite right. I mean, as you notice, I need my glasses for reading. I can't read without my glasses. Even though that's in 16 font, I still need the glasses. And I know Saren's diabetic, so she needs insulin. And without that insulin, she would be really struggling. Now, if we were allowed to touch someone at the moment with COVID, with that experiment, if the youngsters up here had been doing that with their eyes shut, I could have held on to them and kept them safe and kept them strong. But we're not allowed to do that at the moment. And I think in some ways, what I'm kind of thinking and trying to say this morning is that we're best when we're all working together. We're best when we're strongest together. There was a song that I wanted to do this morning, but we couldn't find a video of it. So we didn't have the music, and we only have it on like guitar or piano music. And it's called The Church Is Not a Building. It says this. It says, "The church is not a building or a place where people meet. It doesn't have to have a tower or wooden pews or seats. The church is made of people just like you and just like me, all together in God's family." And then it goes on a bit more, but that's basically what it's saying, is that we're all together in God's family. So instead of that, we're going to sing again. So do you want to put your bits down for a minute, kids at the back, and join in? We're going to sing "Shout to the North and the South." So north is that way, south is that way, that's east, that's west. So if you want to stand up, stand up. If not, just say sat down, but join in the actions, please do. I hadn't realised how difficult that one is to sing without singing. Some of these songs, some of the hymns and the songs that we sing, I find it so difficult to sit there and not sing them. Especially some of the praise songs. It's nice when Phil comes in early and we're in early before anyone else is in, and we can put the music on and we can have a good old sing. It's really lovely. So this week, when I was thinking about what to share, I felt that God was wanting me to talk about the church as a body. Now, it's a shame there's not more people here this morning, actually. But I felt that God was talking to us about a body of believers. And as I was looking, I couldn't find the passage that it was about. I was thinking, I know it's somewhere. It's in Romans or Corinthians or Galatians or somewhere in there. It's somewhere in that part of the Bible. And I couldn't find it. And a couple of weeks ago, I dropped my Bible on the floor over here because I've got a zip on it and I forgot to zip it up. And it's quite an old thing. It's got loads of stuff in it. And so my Bible sort of keeps going open at this one page. So I thought, oh, right, okay, I'll just read what's in front of me. And the bit in front of me was Romans 12, and it was entitled "Life in God's Service." And as I read it, it was about the church as a body, except it wasn't the Corinthians one, the one that I was thinking in my head. It has a slightly different slant. So I'm going to split the reading into several sections. So we've had the first bit, which was the praise from Romans 11. And then I'm going to read Romans 12, 1-8. "So listen then, my friends, because of God's mercy to us, I appeal to you. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship you should offer. Do not conform yourself to the standard of the world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect. And because of God's gracious gift to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. Instead, be modest in your thinking and judge yourself according to the amount of faith that God has given you. We have many parts in the one body, and all these parts have different functions. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in union with Christ, and we are all joined to each other as different parts of the one body. So we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If it is our gift to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith that we have. If it is to serve, we should serve. If it's to teach, we should teach. If it's to encourage others, we should do that. Whoever shares with others should do it generously. Whoever has authority should work hard. And whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully. I think a lot of you are familiar with this passage and kind of know what it means, or think we know what it means. But as we go into a time without a pastor, it would be good to think about how we fit into the body of Christ. We've got a church meeting after the service, and it's going to be short. It's just really to fill people in on what's happening and where we are in things. And you're welcome to stay even if you're not church members. Because actually, even if you're not a church member, and you come into this building and you come and worship with us on Sunday, you are part of the family of God. Now, I asked you earlier to think about what we mean by worship. And in verse 1, it says, or Paul appeals to us to be sacrificial and dedicated in our service to God. And he says, this is true worship. To allow God to transform us and change our minds to be more like him. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't normally think about that as worship. I don't think of my everyday life, the things I do generally for people or around the place, to be as worship. I don't think about running a toddler group as being worship. But according to Paul, it is. I recently did a Zoom RE lesson for Robert Peel. And it's much easier doing it in person than it is doing on the Zoom. Because at least in person you can feed back to the children and it makes it easier. But on the Zoom it was quite difficult. And they asked me, how do we as church be the world that Jesus would want? That's a difficult question. Because it's really easy to go, oh yes, as church we do missionary stuff. We do food banks. We sponsor children. We raise money for good causes. We're kind and we... It's easy to say that and think about the global church. What does church do? But what do we do individually and corporately as a church? And I think, I feel in some ways that over the last year with lockdown, with COVID and everything, we have lost some of that essence, which is natural. And when you look on the internet and you read some of the accounts of other churches, they're all finding the same thing. That they've lost some of the essence of their familiness of being church. And it's how we regain that, whether we regain it in the same way as we had before, or whether we have a new way of doing things. But the one thing that I realised when I was talking to the children is actually we can't make the world as Jesus wants. That's not our job. That's God's job to make the world as Jesus wants. It's not our job. Our job is just to be, ask Jesus to be in us and then us to be in the world. And it's quite a challenge when you ask God how he wants you to be him in the world. In verse 4 and 5 it shows that we've got different gifts, and I know we all know that we're a body and we have different parts and different things, but sometimes we look to different people and we might think, oh, that person's cleverer than me, or that person does more than that, or that person's better than me, therefore I won't do anything, I'll let them do it. But what it says in verse 4 and 5, it says that when we use our different gifts and abilities, it makes us love and depend on each other more, and we are more united in Christ, and we can know the will of God. That's awesome, to think that we can know the will of God. And when we read Romans 11 at the beginning, it sort of said, how great are God's riches, how deep is his wisdom and knowledge, who can explain his decisions, who can understand his ways? And yet it then says, we can know the will of God. So I'm just going to have a cough. So as we come out of this COVID time into what's a bit more normal, maybe as church we've let things slide. Maybe we've let prayer slide. We might have let meeting together slide. Well, we would have let meeting together slide because we've had to. Have we been content to let someone else pick up the phone and ask people how people are? I've been guilty of expecting Mike to pick up the phone and ring me and ask me how I am. And when he didn't, I felt quite upset that he hadn't rung me at all to say, how are you, Jenny? And then I thought, so why didn't I pick up the phone to him and ring him and ask him how he was? And I think in some ways we can all be guilty of that, of waiting, expecting other people to do things for us or contact us, rather than us do that to them. And I'm aware that some of us have been unwell, some of us are very, very tired and very overcommitted with everything, home life and all sorts of things. And I'm aware as well we're all a year older than we were a year ago. But actually God calls all of us to serve him, and he's given us all a gift, no matter what it is. In verse 6 it says we're to use our different gifts according to the grace that God has given us. Now, I think we all need to hear that verse in different ways. I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to ask you to think about how that is for you, and then I'll explain what I think it is for me. We are to use our different gifts according to the grace that God has given us. Now, I hear that sometimes as a bit of a rebuke. Don't get carried away doing things or saying things that God hasn't given you to do, to me. Maybe he's saying, I can give you that grace that you need. Or maybe it's a revelation of a gift that God has given you. Maybe it's a challenge to use that gift in. Or maybe it's something else that God is saying to you. I don't know. That's between you and God. But I'm aware that when we did the experiment with the kids this morning, that actually it could be quite easy with this church for us all to be like that, and it to fall over because we've got only half a body working, not a whole body working. And one of the things Mike said to Phil and I not long before he left is, you do too much in church, because if you're not there, then who's going to do it? And that's kind of, I'm guilty of that, and I know I'm guilty of that. And I think, oh, well, there's no one else to do it, no one else to do it. But actually, if we carry on doing what we're going to do, or what we do every week, then if for some reason, we're away next week and the week after, but if something happens to us or we move away, then what happens? Moving on slightly, in this passage, Paul is who I'm talking about. In this passage, Paul refers to faith. And the faith he refers to is not saving faith, so it's not, I believe in God. It's the belief that we personally are able to receive from God. Because I'm sure a lot of us think, oh, God can't do it. No, God won't do that to me. God won't give me that gift. God won't, you know. And it's actually having that faith. But actually, again, what I read this week was, that faith corresponds to the task that we're given. So if you need just a little bit of faith, maybe a bit like this week, I only needed a little bit of faith to do my job in there because that's what I do all the time, then I only have that little bit of faith I need. But if you've got to step out and talk to somebody who you don't really want to talk to or do something else, then God will give you a big amount of faith to do that. He gives you the faith you need for that time and that place. Every one of us has a gift in God. The gifts in verse 6-8 are practical ones, and they're the result of the Holy Spirit being in you. So if you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got gifts. And these spiritual gifts are placed in the church as a resource to be used at the point of need. So they're not for something for you to go, oh yeah, I can do that, and I can sit at home doing that, that's fine. They're for you to use for God in whatever way he calls you to use it. But it doesn't say, this is where God talks to me and says, Jenny, stop doing everything. Because it doesn't say that we have to do everything from the list. And it also doesn't explain how we have to do it. So there's no set way, there's no set box that you have to tick or way that you have to do things. But what it does say is, if you can speak God's message according to the faith that you have, do that. If you can serve, serve. If you're an encourager, don't keep it quiet. If you feel like you need to encourage someone in something, do it. Say to them, well done, that was good. Oh, I really think that this is... Encouragement goes a long way. I had a conversation with someone this week who had been doing something over and above their job, and the boss came in and said, what are you doing? And they said, well, I've done what I need to do. I'm just doing an extra thing to make the place look nice. And I went, oh, okay, and walked out. Now that encourages, if they'd been told, oh, thank you, that's really good, thank you, that would have meant a lot to them, but actually they felt, oh, why did I bother? So encouragement. If you can teach, if you're going to teach in Sunday school, speak to Sarah or me. If you can share, share generously. If you have authority, if you've been given authority wherever you are, work hard at it. Whatever job you have, whatever you're doing. And if you've got the gift of kindness, do it cheerfully with a smile on your face. Not, oh, I've got to be kind to someone today. I think I'll be kind. I'll just be a bit of an Eeyore. Do it cheerfully. Even when you don't feel like doing it cheerfully, do it cheerfully. One thing that's missing from this list, I noticed, is prayer. It's not on that list, is it? Doesn't mean it's not important, because it's elsewhere in the letter. But it isn't on that list. Right. We've got a video now, which some of you might have heard of Jay John. Jay John is a speaker. He writes books as well. He's done some prayer, some really good books, some courses and just books to read. And he's quite humorous. If you want to go on the YouTube and have a look for Jay John and Donut, that's quite a good one to watch. But this is just Jay John saying, what is a pastor? So I hope you like that. I kind of liked it. Right, okay. I'm just going to pause for a moment. No, we're not. We're going to ask Sarah and Hayden, Zara, Jermaine, have you done anything on your little posters? Yeah? How are we going to do it? Do you want to... I have got a spare mic up here. Do you want to come and tell us what's on your... If I turn the mic on, then you can just hold it and... Come and tell us. All right, I'm going to...
The nose, I put smell and breathe. The mouth, I put eat, talk and breathe. I put for the arms, let you move your hand more. I put for the hand, touch and carry. I put for the legs, move to help walk and get about. And I put for the feet, walk and get about.
Hayden, do you want to come do yours? No?
He's been reading, so okay. He's not quite finished.
Zara, Jermaine, do you want to come in?
First I put for eyes, see and seeing things. For the nose I put smelling and breathing. For the mouth I put tasting, eating and breathing. For the ears I put hearing. For the arms, I put balancing.
Oh, that's a good one.
And for the hands, touching and balancing. For the feet, I put walking, jumping and running. And that's it.
Thank you. Jermaine, do you want to know? Okay. Is there anything different on yours, Jermaine? Is there anything else that you want to share on yours? No, nothing else? Now... If it had been me doing that, I'd have come up with completely different things. Because when I thought about the nose, I thought about smelling. I didn't think about breathing. I don't know why. I didn't think about breathing through my nose. So I just didn't think it. But that's all of what we do as a part of a body. And they haven't even finished yet because they've done the brain and everything like that. Eating together. We haven't been able to eat together for over a year now, have we? And I'm kind of looking forward to the time when we can actually... get together and have a meal together. I know we ate in the garden the other week with a cup of cake and a piece of tea. That's not right. A piece of cake and a drink. You've done yours, Hayden, have you? It'll be nice to be able to get back together into those things again.
Eyes for seeing, nose for smell, tummy for breathing, hands for touch, legs for running, and feet for jumping.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Thank you. Right, so we're just going to... Sorry, I've lost where I am now. Going to do the notices and stuff before we go into the next bit. So, notices, church meeting after church today. Phil and I are away next week and probably the week after, because we'll be back late on Saturday night. Jackie was late back last night. So, guest speaker next week, you've got Pauline Wade, who's going to do the whole service. She's been before, she's lovely, she'll just get on with it. And the following week, we've got David Williams, who's a really good speaker. He doesn't do the whole service, so Jackie's going to be leading the first bit of that. So anyone around can help support them in setting up or whatever they need to do. Speak to Jackie, because they're going to need help. If Phil and I aren't around, it just needs a bit more help. Anything else? Phil's waving. Oh, tea towels. Because the Need Project's using the front of the church every week, they're making themselves coffees and things like that, and then they're using the tea towels. And I went and picked the tea towels up and said, "Oh, Phil, I need to take the tea towels home to wash." And he said to me, "Jenny, what are you talking on? Ask someone else if they would take the tea towels home, stick them in the wash, and bring them back next week or the week after." So there's a bag of tea towels in the red and white bag there. If anyone would like to take them home and wash them, please do. Tiny Little Angels is carrying on, but in September we will need help, because there's two of us at the moment, but we're not doing refreshments. But come September, we will probably need a third person to help us just do refreshments and things in the kitchen. Anything I'm missing? No? Right, okay. I heard a little bit about Janet this week. Some of you might have seen an updated email just to say she's still in hospital. She's doing well. She's being well looked after. And I hope she's going to come home in the next few weeks. Whether she'll go home or whether she'll go and stay with her daughter, Anna, I don't know. But Anna's also been in hospital recently, but she's out now. And it's Janet's 70th birthday on Thursday. We don't at the moment have an address for her, but if we do, as soon as we get an address or something, we'll obviously send her a card on behalf of the church. And I'm not sure whether she'll be allowed flowers or what she's allowed, so whether we can send anything to her or not. So that is Janet. Janice as well. I've spoken to Janice recently, just to keep you update. Her mum's not doing that well. Her mum's having quite a lot of falls and her eyesight's going quite badly. So please just remember Janice and Janice's mum, Sheila, in your prayers. Janice is, I think her heart's up there. She wants to be up there, but she knows she needs to be down here sometimes. And I think she's a bit conflicted. So just lift Janice and Sheila before you. And anyone else that we need to pray for? We're just going to briefly pray in a minute. Is there anyone else that needs prayer? Tricia and Matt. Okay. Okay, let's just pray. And if you think of anybody else, either speak it out loud or just quietly in your hearts. Heavenly Father, I've just come before you now. And we just ask you that you will let us hear what you want us to hear. But also we come to you knowing you are great and mighty God. And the Lord, you have great plans for us. And you want so many people to hear about you and know you. And so as we pray for people, Lord, and we bring people to you, we pray that they will make, or you will make yourself known to them, that they will see you, they will be healed or have comfort from you, whatever it is that you need them to have at this time. So, Lord, I pray for Janet. I pray that your hand will be on her and Tim and Anna at the moment. Just surround her with your love. Thank you for Tim's minister, Steve, that's keeping us informed and helping us to keep engaged. Father, just pray for Janice. Just pray you'll give her strength and give her peace and just give her that sense of being able to do everything she can and not feeling so helpless. And pray for Sheila as she loses her sight and she becomes older and more difficult to get around. Just pray your blessing on her and your touch on her. And Lord, we pray for Trish and Matt. You know them. You know their situation. And Lord, I just pray that you will heal him. You will restore him. That you will do a miracle for him, Lord. Something that the doctors can't fathom. Something that will be able to show that you are the God of the whole universe. But Lord, I also ask that you put your arms around them, that you comfort them, you cuddle them, you give them people alongside who they can talk to. And pray for their family too at this time. And Lord, we just bring before you anyone else that we know needs an extra touch. I just pray for Lynn, for strength for her, and Lord, that you'll ease her tiredness, give her some rest. She's still struggling from the COVID results. Pray for Mandy and Will as well for the same thing, that they will get strength back to them, Lord. And Lord, we just lift anyone else before you now. We ask these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, the bit that we've done on in Romans is part of a longer letter. Can you turn me down a little bit? I'm echoing, I think. And I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to read it. I'm paused part way through just so you can digest it in two parts. So we've finished with the gifts, so whatever you do, do it cheerfully. And then verse 9 says, your love must be completely sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love one another warmly as Christians, and be eager to show respect for one another. Work hard and do not be lazy. Serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. Let your hope keep you joyful. Be patient in your troubles and pray at all times. Share your belongings with your needy fellow Christians and open your homes to strangers. Ask God to bless those who persecute you. Yes, ask him to bless, not to curse. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. And have the same concern for everyone. Do not be proud, but accept humble duties. Do not think of yourself as wise. If someone has done you wrong, do not repay him with wrong. Try to do what everyone considers good. Do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody. Never take revenge, my friends, but instead let God's anger do it. For the scripture says, I will take revenge, I will pay back, says the Lord. Instead, as the scripture says, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them a drink. For by doing this, you will make them burn with shame. Do not let evil defeat you. Instead, conquer evil with good. So, Paul says it all in Romans. We just have to go and do it. And your challenge this week is to pray and ask God what he wants from you. For one or two of you, it might just be to sit and be refreshed. But as I said earlier, we can't all do that, otherwise the church will fall over. We can't all be hands. We can't all be ears. We need to be a whole body. So this week, be blessed, but also be a blessing. We just say the Lord's Prayer together. We're allowed to say that out loud. So it doesn't matter what version. If you say different words to me, it doesn't matter. It's what God hears. It's an important bit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our final song.